to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 9, and we're going to pick up this evening right with verse 23. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt.
Well, this story goes, Pharaoh's heart's hardened. He's not listening, and God's keeping his word, and Egypt is being destroyed. That's the bottom line.
So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation.
So this is not just your normal hailstorm. They've never seen anything like this in their life.
And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field, and break every tree of the field.
You know, before this happened, God warned through Moses. God told him what he was going to do and told him to get their animals out of the field and their servants, get them out of the field. If they didn't, they'd be killed. And so that it's not like God didn't give them opportunity. They just didn't listen. They rebelled and they suffered the consequence of it.
Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail.
Isn't that incredible how God puts that dividing line, just makes a distinction between his people and the people of the world. God's making his point here. So don't think that God's abandoned you. He makes a distinction, and I know it from personal experience, how God has just put the dividing line. I won't go into all the detail, but I used the scripture one night. There's a hurricane, and woke up in the middle of the night. It sounded like the house was coming off of the foundation or whatever. Trees were all bending over, and I just stood there at the back window, and I said, Lord, I want you to, that's to be like the land of Goshen, to where you protect this property and all the contents. I didn't have any damage at all, and the tree fell on my next door neighbor's house. Now, I wasn't asking God to put the tree on my next door neighbor's house. I was just asking God to make distinction between his people, and I've seen that occur.
I was telling Pete this afternoon that I have a very similar experience to this. I remember listening to teaching, and Pete had given us his testimony of this, and I had read this scripture, and this was a couple years ago. It's not been long at all. We had big storms come through, tornado warnings and everything. And at the time, we had some construction going on. And there, I don't know what the material was, but it was this real thin, like, foam-type stuff with the foil lining on it that was just real light and easy to pick up. That was stacked up in the yard. There was an empty Pepsi can in the yard. And there were all these big winds, and school was called up the whole bit. And I prayed this to the Lord, and this shows you how he's no respecter of persons, that he honors his word. Y'all, not even that Pepsi can moved in my yard. Not even the can. Nothing. The wind didn't even lift up that foam where if I had gone outside and blown on it, I could have made it go up. It was absolutely incredible to see his faithfulness. And I tell you that not as a look what the Lord did for me, but in a way, yeah, look what the Lord did for me, but look what the Lord will do for you too, is why I tell you that as a testimony of he honors his word. And what we see here, this is miraculous. You know, we lived in Florida for a time, and it would be amazing how I see how the Lord has done this with rainstorms. At one point, we lived four houses apart, and that was a whole lot of fun. But There could be a rainstorm at my house, the black cloud, and four houses down the rain hadn't made it to her house yet. It was, the Lord is amazing with how he can, anyway, if he decides he doesn't want it to hail on the land, it's not going to hail on the land. That's all there is to it. But anyway, he's so faithful. In verse 27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked.
It's amazing that something catastrophic has to occur before you recognize the Lord or the power of the Lord, rather than just believe it by faith. So, I mean, after your land's getting devastated, your reality can start setting in. You know, the Lord's righteous, we're not. And how about you interceding for me? You know.
Mm-hmm. In verse 28, entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer.
He even promised to let the Israelites go. This thing rattled his cage, you understand?
Yeah.
Temporarily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How quick we forget.
Yeah. Give me what I want. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's.
They're talking about faith in God. In the midst of all this great hailstorm, Moses says, all right, when I go outside the city, I'll just lift my hands and tell the Lord to stop the hail, and it'll stop. And that's exactly what he did, and that's exactly what happened.
For this purpose, I want to go back to the end of that 29, that you may know how that the earth is the Lord's.
Yeah.
The earth is the Lord's. You know, we see all this stuff going around, and I think about what's happening in Israel right now. God's chosen land, his chosen people. The earth is the Lord's. None of this is getting by him. And it's
Pharaoh thought that part was his.
Yeah, my land.
And so often you can get to thinking like that. You can think, well, this territory's mine, you know. No, it's God's. I was thinking this morning how when Melchizedek met Abraham, how when he said, and blesses the Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. He's still the possessor. He hasn't given it up. He still owns it.
Mm-hmm. Verse 30. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask the Lord to stop the help, but I know you're lying to me.
Wow.
That's the essence of what he's saying. You understand? Because you don't fear God.
And the flax and the barley were smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold.
So the flax being various plants, barley were destroyed, because the barley was ripe, the flax was in blossom, or in bloom, and but the wheat and the spelt, which is hardy wheat, were not destroyed. Because it had not come forth later. Now, it's important to understand that, because later on, when you're going to see another plague come, another disaster, it's going to talk about wheat. Well, you have to understand that it's two different crops, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a contradiction.
Mm-hmm. Verse 33, and Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth.
So, even in the Old Testament, you see the storm calmed. We think of Jesus calming the storm, but you understand that Moses spoke and that storm was calmed. pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's just say what the Lord says. If you'll say what the Lord says, you'll get His results. But when you do your own thing, you're going to get your results. And it's usually not good. Definitely not as good as it could be.
And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken to Moses.
Those storms over, he gets some relief. Now he reneged on his promise. Well, Moses knew he was going to.
Mm-hmm. Now, chapter 10, we're going to learn about the plagues of locusts and darkness. Let's look at the first two verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know how that I am the Lord.
So basically what the Lord is saying is, I'm making history for your children and your grandchildren. And you tell them about this, they're going to know the power of God. You just make sure you pass this on to the next generation. Our problem today is we haven't passed on things to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have a somewhat of a godless society today.
And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me.
How long are you going to stay lifted up in pride? You can humble yourself before God and get relief and just obey Him. No. As long as you stay in pride, remember what the proverb says, pride goes before destruction, mm-hmm. and an arrogant or haughty spirit before fall.
Verse 4. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts into thy coast, and thou shalt cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and that they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field.
I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
A locust to that magnitude, to where the lands, you don't even see the land, it's so dark with them. And he's saying, if you don't let God's people go and serve God, then God's going to send these locusts on you, and everything that hasn't been damaged in your vegetation and all, then these locusts are going to eat it up. Now, that's affecting the economy too, you understand?
Yeah.
Because it's affecting their crops. It's affecting what they eat. I mean, you're talking about a food shortage and stuff like this when you're looking at all this. And this didn't happen in just one or two days, you understand. This was over a period of time. There's 10 plagues. And these plagues are coming not just one day after another day, but they're spaced out. I don't know how long it was.
Mm-hmm. You'd think they'd be crying, Uncle. I don't know. Verse 6, And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth, unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh.
Your father, your grandfather never seen anything like you're about to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's warned. Mm-hmm. Okay? God doesn't do anything without he first reveals it to his servants of prophets, right? Moses is a prophet of God. Moses is telling him what's going to happen before it happens, but he's not listening. God hasn't changed. He still does the same thing today.
And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?
So Moses delivers God's message, and then he walks out. And let's just say something about that. It's not my responsibility or a messenger of God's responsibility to make anything come to pass. All we do is deliver the message. You understand? You deliver God's message, then all the responsibility is on God. And then the people have the responsibility for listening to what God said and taking affirmative action to what God said. Otherwise, they get the negative results of it.
That's good.
Am I ahead of you, behind you, or what?
Well, right in step.
Oh, I'm right. Man, I'm doing good.
Verse 8. Okay. And Moses and Aaron were brought again into Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go?
Now the officials are starting to catch hold of some stuff. Slow learners. How long are you going to let this man be a snare to us? He's trapping us. We're the bait. And Egypt is being destroyed. So how long are you going to let this go on?
Now we're out of step, I think. So verse 8.
So, you know, from their perspective, what's the best thing he can do is let the Israelites go serve God.
Yeah.
Because they knew if they didn't honor Moses' request that what he said was going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So verse 9, and Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord.
So Pharaoh, here's what they're saying. He calls for Moses and Aaron. And he says, All right, I'm going to let you go serve the Lord, but I need to know who's going.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a message in this that we need to understand. We'll keep reading.
I'm going to read verse 9 again. And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord.
So Moses says, All right, to serve the Lord, we've got to give him our all. It's going to be everybody,
yeah,
including our possession, our flocks, our herds.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's men, women, children, flocks, and herds. That's who's going to serve the Lord. Well, that's not what Pharaoh wanted to hear.
And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you.
Pharaoh said, If I honor that request, then I guarantee you the Lord would have to do it. In other words, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let all you Israelites go. Then he accused Moses of having an evil intent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Verse 11, Not so. Go now, you that are men, and serve the Lord, for that you did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence.
All right, here's what I'll let you do. I'll let you go serve the Lord, but only the men. In other words, compromise. Don't ever compromise what God said, okay? And so often this happens. It's like negotiating. God does not negotiate. When God gives a command, it's a command of God, and he has the power to back up the command, and he's not going to feel sorry for you for not obeying him. And so we have to learn to do what God says and never compromise, and especially in ministry. Because people will try to get you to compromise and to get you to do something differently than what God has told you to do. Mm-hmm. If I listened to people along the way, I will promise you I wouldn't be here today.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not willing to compromise the vision that God gave me. I know what God said to me, Whatever he says to you, you go with it, but don't you try to change me from what God has told me. We need to be that established in the integrity of God and our faithfulness to God. If God puts a word in your heart, don't compromise. I don't care what they offer you, don't compromise. God wants all or nothing. No, it has to be all of what God said. I'm not giving in. And you can call that stubborn, you can call that what you want to. I call it loyalty to your master. And that's what we have to learn. And Moses was faithful.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail has left.
All right, Pharaoh's had his opportunity. He's made his response. Stretch out your hand. Call for the locusts. Let them eat every green thing left. Let them destroy this place.
Yeah, serious. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day, all that night. And it was when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust.
So Moses did what God said, and God fulfilled his word. He caused the wind to bring the locust and cover the land.
Verse 14. And the locusts went up all, over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt.
You think about this. All the vegetation and all the fruit that had not previously been destroyed, they destroyed. Now think about how God had used Egypt to spare people's lives, Israel's life, in the famine. You understand? He had blessed them abundantly, but they still followed other gods and all this. And now the tides turn. Now they're in a desperate situation because their vegetation, their fruit, their crops have been destroyed. Rebellion. Not submitting to God. Abusing God's people. The world's not getting by with anything.
Verse 16, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only.
So he sees the word of God fulfilled, and he quickly calls for Moses and Aaron, and says, all right, I sinned against God, and how about you guys interceding? Ask God to remove this pestilence that he sent to Egypt that's destroying the land.
And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt.
You know, it's amazing how even though he has a rebellious heart, when he repents, I've seen how the mercy of God gives him relief.
Yeah.
And so here, Moses is not saying, no, you're going to get what you deserve. That's not what God's saying, all right, I'll give you relief. You know, you repented, I'll give you relief.
Wow.
And I'm going to give you another opportunity is the essence of it. So anyway, they intercede for him.
Mm-hmm.
And God calls the west wind to blow this time and take away all the locusts out of the land. Now, here's an interesting thing to me. It says not one locust was left in the land of Egypt. Now, that's a miracle in itself.
Mm-hmm.
when the land is totally covered and so dark you can't even see it, and not one is left. Our God's a mighty God.
Yeah. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go.
But here again, God's not through with Pharaoh. Heart's hard. He's not going to let Israelites go and serve the Lord.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt.
I don't think we can even comprehend that type darkness for the most part. Darkness is so dark you can't see anything. I've been exposed to a couple things. I've been through did service through a smokehouse, and you hold your hand, you can't see your hand in front of your face, and then dive in the same way, being a situation where you can't see your hand in front of your face. But that's just temporary. This is 3 days to where they can't even see to move, to get out of their house. Keep reading. I'm a little bit ahead of you, I think.
Okay. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all of the land of Egypt 3 days.
They
saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
So you have 3 days of darkness here. And look at verse 23. The Egyptians could not even see one another. Consequently, no one can move from his place for 3 days. But the descendants of Israel had light in their homes. Now think about this. You can't move out of your place for 3 days. Mm-hmm. You can't see anything. What are you eating? See, we don't go to the depth of that thing. I mean, this is, like I said, we can't even imagine. We've had temporary darkness. But this right here is a darkness that's lasting for days. And you can't do anything.
I can't imagine. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go you, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you.
So Pharaoh calls for Moses. Go serve the Lord. All right, I'm going to let you take your young and old. But I'm not going to let you take your livestock. Here's another compromise, opportunity to compromise. Okay?
And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not be a hoof be left behind, for therefore we must take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither.
Now Moses is not making this up as he goes along.
Yeah.
He's just simply saying what God's saying. He doesn't know what God's going to require of them, but if you think about in the future days, the animals that were required to be sacrificed during the various types of offerings and all this type thing. And so Moses doesn't know. So he says, no, how are we going to worship God? We're just going to go out there with nothing to sacrifice? No, I'm not going to do that. We're going to take everything with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stay that tenacious with the word of God.
Yeah. And Pharaoh said unto him, did I read 27? Let me read 27.
So he decided, no, you're not going to go.
Never mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. 28. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die.
Now, Pharaoh is so upset.
Yeah.
And he tells Moses, you better not see my face again. You see my face again, I'm going to kill you. Mm. Moses said, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to see your face again. Now, when we go into this next chapter, there's a parenthetical here that God is telling Moses some things. He's giving him some instruction, And then we're going to come back and pick up on the rest of the conversation. The conversation doesn't stop with that verse. There's just some instructions inserted in between those verses.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether.
So the Lord says, All right, I'm going to bring one more plague on Egypt, and then he will let you go after this plague.
And before we move on, let me tell you, there's a test question you're going to want to be aware of. There's 10 plagues, right? You're going to want to remember that. The 10 plagues experienced by the Egyptians were water turned to blood, frogs, lice, flies, pestilence on the beasts, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and we're getting ready to read about this one, the death of the firstborn. What you're going to want to remember was that there were 10 plagues.
Okay. The land is devastated by this time.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand what I mean by that.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not by war, but by pestilence and storms and things of this nature.
I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. Speak now in the ears of people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people.
It says this is what God had told Moses to tell the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know, by this time Moses was a very influential man.
Yeah.
Because the people of Egypt knew that this man was not your natural, ordinary man, and they had great respect for him. And so Moses tells them, he says, all right, you go ask the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold. And they have favor with the Egyptians, and they become, because Moses is an influential man, and the Egyptians revered him, so when they're asking, they're giving. They're giving to the people the silver and the gold.
And Moses said, Thus said the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and the firstborn of the beast, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger.
Now we pick back up with the rest of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, all right, you're correct. I'm not going to see your face again.
Yeah.
But before he left the presence of Pharaoh, he says, now this is what the Lord says. At midnight, I'm going throughout your land, and I'm going to kill all the firstborn of Egypt, your firstborn, everybody else's firstborn, even the prisoner's firstborn, the animal's firstborn. All these are going to die. Your slave's firstborn, they'll die. But in the land of Goshen, where my people are, no one will die. He said, a dog won't even move its tongue against my people. And he said, this phenomenon is going to reveal that God makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And he says, your officials are going to come to me and bow, requesting that the Israelites leave Egypt, and then we're going to leave your land. You've never seen anything like you're about to see. There's going to be a cry throughout the land like you've never experienced, nor will ever experience again. God is getting ready to drop the hammer. This is the final blow to the Egyptians. Now, I'm going to wait a little bit before I... There's some things I want to say about this this firstborn, but we'll go along before we do. Now we see when Moses makes that statement, when he leaves Pharaoh, it says that he was very angry
mm-hmm.
when he left there. You've lied long enough. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You're not going to lie this time because you're going to let them go because this is going to be so catastrophic that you'll have to let us go as the essence of it. Okay? Well, our time's up. We'll take a break and then we'll pick back up with this. Okay?
Okay.